And it's Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good ground. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others round him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Solomon, we invite you up. Shall I pray for you, or we'll pray for you, Solomon, before you preach? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Solomon. Thank you for him coming along to open your word to us tonight. And we just ask now, Holy Spirit, would you come on him afresh and equip him to open your word to us? And help us, Lord, to listen carefully, to come to your word expectantly tonight. Because we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. Good evening, everyone. I want to especially thank the leadership of St. Patrick's for giving me this privilege to come fellowship and share God's word with us. I was reading through this very passage in Mark chapter 4, and I felt that the Lord was placing some things I'm going to share with us this evening, which I title "It's a Heartbreak." Yeah. You know, we are in a world that there's a lot of noise in this world that we are. Jesus, while he was speaking to this crowd that were by the seaside listening to him, he started by calling their attention for to listen to him. There are a lot of voices that speak to us, that call for our attention. So possibly as at that time, even though they were before Jesus, it was possible that there were some other boats by the seaside, fishermen and all over, and maybe some dolphins are just jumping all over the place. And Jesus was saying, "Oh, come on, I need your attention. Listen." You know, because today's passage from Mark is going to challenge us actually about whether we love to listen, we love listening to Jesus and the Bible. It's going to depend on what you think about Jesus. You could think he's awful, average, or awesome. It's not likely that you are only going to love listening to Jesus if you think he's awesome. But Jesus is going to go deeper today and show us that it's an issue of our hearts that affects our ears. If we look at the parable that Jesus shared with them, he said the sower went to sow its seeds. So we could see that there were three different scenarios or environments that the seed was sown. The first one was some fell by the wayside, right on the path, and some fell among thorns, and there were some that fell in a rocky ground. But the last of it fell on a good soil. The seed, actually, they were all good seeds. The seeds had the potential of bringing forth 30-fold harvest, 60-fold harvest, and 100-fold harvest. So the seed was good, had this potential. But the output, the output of the seed was determined by the environment that each seed fell upon. So, looking at a particular time, after telling the people this parable, he finished saying the parable, but the disciples came to him because they couldn't really understand the parable. So they were asking him to tell them the meaning of the parable. You know, so as I was looking at that, I put myself in the shoes of the disciples. The word disciple actually means students. Yeah, learner. So I saw myself first as also a learner, a student of Jesus, a student of the Bible. So I didn't come here because I'm a theological expert and I want to display my expertise and come on, it is. You know, sometimes I preach with so much energy, but as I was looking through the scripture, I looked at it from the lens of a student, not a preacher. So I'm here to interact and learn together as disciples of Jesus. So it's like driving a car, trying to get a driver's license. So I put a big L on the car so that everybody will know that I'm a learner. You know, so we are all learning. Jesus, in this very Mark 4, after gathering everyone, he started to teach them with parables. These parables are stories with meaning. His teaching that he said is why he had come. He had come to establish a kingdom, but he needed to teach the culture of the kingdom. He needed to teach the lifestyle of the kingdom. He needed to tell people about the tradition of the kingdom. And he did it most times in the form of telling stories and parables. In verse 3, Jesus started by saying, "Listen, because the one thing God longs for us to grasp and get today is keep listening to Jesus and his word. It's not listening to him once, but listening to him continually, listening to his word. You know, I've come to realize that sometimes it's up to a week. I was just discovered that I was so busy that week that I realized that I've not read my Bible this week. I don't know if that's happened to anyone. That's happened to me a number of times. I said, what happened? What have I done this week? What kept me so busy and engaged? You know, sometime in the morning, maybe we woke up late and trying to get the kids prepared for school. And by the time I drop them at school and get back to get back home, get back to the office to do one of the next thing is past 2 o'clock. I say, how did the time fly this fast? So getting back to pick them from school, and by the time you return, look at homework and all of this, get dinner prepared, and the next thing is bedtime. And before you know what, a week is gone. I've not read my Bible. Because the Bible is the primary source of God's word. So not reading the Bible is like intentionally starving yourself of the life-giving word of God. So in this very parable, Jesus explaining to his disciples, the students, the learners, explaining to us, Jesus said, it is given unto you to know the secrets of the kingdom. It's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And he started by explaining to them. He said, we have one sower. We have 4 different types of soil. And a bucket load of seed. The first soil is the one that Jesus said the seed fell on the path, on the wayside. And the Bible says, immediately it fell on the path, Satan came and removed them. So the seed did not have the opportunity to try to gain ground and try to get into the soil and begin to germinate. Satan came and removed it. And these, when he started explaining it, Jesus talked about these are the people with hard heart or hardened heart. I remember that when Moses was speaking to the children of Israel as they left Egypt and were going to the promised land, Moses was telling them, this day as you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. There are people that even before you start trying to preach or you're trying to read the Bible to them, they have an already made art. They have an already made perception about Jesus, about Christianity, that it would take only the Holy Spirit. No matter, if you like, break from one theological explanation to the other, from philosophical to psychological, it won't make any sense to them because their hearts are already made up. Their hearts are strong. It's adding. They don't want to hear. So if you're trying to give them the gospel, if you try to share it with them, it's a no. Their hearts are blocked, closed. So whatever effort you make to bring the gospel to this group of people is like a futile, frustrating effort. Those are the people that the word fall on the paths. Never be. Satan has so, the Bible says, Satan is the god of this world. He has blinded their hearts. So it doesn't penetrate. That's the number one set of people. the number two set of people are the people in the sea that fall on a rocky ground. The thing is that the rocky ground doesn't have enough soil to allow the seed germinate. So because of that, the seed will not have the heat of the sun, and the environmental factors will never give the seed the chance to grow. No water. So because that, photosynthesis cannot take place. Number three has to do with the seed that fall on thorny ground. You know, these are the people that they receive the word with joy. They come to church. Oh, they are happy reading the Bible. They want to see, they strive to see how they can live practically the word of God that they hear or they read. But the moment something challenging happens, the whole of the faith that they build through the hearing of the word, because scripture says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But the moment a challenge comes, the moment one bad news comes, it will just look like a balloon that is deflated. So that's why sometimes these are group of people that due to difficult challenges that they face, some of them will say, oh, if God really exists, why will he allow me go through this difficulty? If God is alive, if God cares, if he's really the God of love that we read about, why is he allowing the conflict, the killings, the destructions that are happening all over the world? Why is he not doing anything? Why is he silent? They ask these questions based on what they experience, based on what they feel that is happening. And the thing is that these things happen to everyone. Everyone faces their own kind of challenges at different levels. But the beautiful thing is that God had promised that he will be with us even when we go through the water and the fire. So it's expected that these challenges should not allow the challenges shook the word of God that has come to give us life. We shouldn't allow the challenges to shook the word. I can remember when in 2016, when Ukraine then, and my wife was just gave birth to her son, and she wasn't feeling too well, and she was admitted in the hospital. Then the doctor said, from the diagnosis, she was diagnosed of cancer. And Lord, where are you? Why would you allow this happen? I thought I've been serving you to the best of my knowledge faithfully. But he's there. For all things, even if it happens that something negative happens, the Bible says all things work together for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Then it takes us to the fourth one, which is the good soil. The good soil. These are people who hear the word and they become doers of the word. But the point I want to make in this Bible study or in this my presentation is the heartbreak. For a seed to germinate, if you put a seed on the soil, for it to germinate, it will first break the soil, the surface of the soil where you put it.
it will break it. There's a root. It's called a tap root that will need to go down. So it will break through a platform of the soil in order for it to go down. The seed must first grow downwards before it comes up. So it is like God's Jesus saying that this seed that is planted must first die. As he's dying into the environment of the soil. It is in his dying that it receives nutrients. It becomes one with the environment for it to bring forth the potential that is in him. It is like a woman conceiving, the conception of a woman that starts with implantation. For the implantation, the moment the seed is being implanted in the walls of the womb, it causes, how do I put it? Bleeding. Yes, yes. Implantation comes with bleeding. Heartbreak is actually something that is quite negative. I got an heartbreak, you're in a relationship, and the person just pulled out of the relationship, or your son, daughter, or dad, mom, say, oh, I don't want to have anything to do with you again. It's quite heartbreaking. But in this sense, there is no implantation that takes place without friction. There's no seed that will actually begin to take root, germinate, and bring forth fruit without breaking through the earth. That's why we've seen some plants that some plants will be growing on top of a rock. Their roots became so strong to the point where it penetrates into the rock and began to spread through the rock, looking for where and where it will get nutrients and water from, and will begin to, standing on a rock or on a mountain, it will begin to grow and bear fruit, because the seed decided, no matter what, I'm going to thrive in this difficult environment. No matter what, I'm going to thrive and bring forth fruit from this difficult environment that I've found myself. The word of God most times never comes to pamper us. If Jesus was in these our days, let me start with John the Baptist. If John the Baptist is in these our days and is in the Thames River baptizing the people, then people start coming to be baptized. And you say, oh, you parliamentarians, you are coming to be baptized, you brood of vipers. Do you know the kind trouble he's going to stir? The media will pick him up. He called the military people brood of vipers. Who is he? The word of God, in most cases, comes never to pamper us. It comes to transform us. And what transforms is the truth. The truth, in most cases, is never sweet. The truth. Apostle Paul was talking about this. See, he was talking about a generation of people who have itching ears that are just looking for people who tell them sweet things. Oh, you are blessed this day. You prosper. Hey, you got us. You are buying a jet. I see God blessing you. I will never point to say, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's difficult these days to hear messages about repentance. Right now, sometimes we see it, it seems
like the church now, the problem with the church or the culture of the church that we see today in our world is we change things to fit what we want. This is who we are, and this is what we want to be and remain. And the good thing about God is that He respects our will. If this is what you will and you want to do, okay. But a time is coming, the Bible says that we will all stand to give account of ourselves. So now it brings us to this. We ask ourselves this: does this apply to me? Do I have a study art? Do I usually, when I read the Bible and I feel that the Bible is God is rebuking me through His word, do I feel bad about it? If I'm reading the Bible and I feel that God is giving me an instruction, do I joyfully accept it? Or there are some persons that this Bible, there are some parts they no longer read. Some will say, no, I don't like the Pauline scriptures. Some will say, oh, I don't like the way John presented this. I like the way Luke did. Some will say, no, I don't read the Old Testament because it's old. But the thing is that in the days of Jesus, when the Bible says Jesus read the scripture, what did He read? He read the Old Testament. And He lived the scriptures based on what He read in the Old Testament. Even though as at that time the Pharisees became one kind of the interpretation they were giving to the word of God were this extremist kind of views, but Jesus did not water down the scriptures. He didn't at all. So our heart, it has to do with our heart condition. It has to do with the heart condition of people. That's why David in Psalm 51, he began to pray and cry to the Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God. Because it's an heart condition. At a particular time, the Pharisees came to Jesus and was asking Him about divorce. He said, Moses told us that whenever we are tired with our wives, we can just get a bill of divorcement and put them away. Jesus said, yes, I know Moses gave you those laws. But Moses gave you those laws because of the hardness of your heart. So it actually has to do with the heart. And the word of God comes first to transform our hearts. Let me just read the scripture with us, even as I begin to round up some helpful scriptural references. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 20, it said, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fault, the fruit of his doing. I'm reading the New King James Version. So. Then in Ezekiel 36:26, he said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Then in Proverbs 27:19, he said, as in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. In Jeremiah 23:29, he said, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?
In other words, as we keep listening, like in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 18, say, as we say, we come with open face, beholding the glory of the Lord, we are transformed from one level of glory to the other. So when you say we come with open face, that means we come with open minds. We don't come with already made up perceptions, made up concepts. We are just ready to allow the word of God come into our hearts, reveal the truth to us, and help us by God's Spirit to be transformed. So as we expose ourselves to the reading of God's word, we expose ourselves to Bible studies, to listening to sermons, and expose ourselves to materials, godly scriptural materials in written form or in digital form, it begins to break our heart. It begins to break the heart. It breaks it to the point where the heart becomes soft. That's why David said in Psalm 51, a broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise. So it's a moment of soul searching. It's a moment of searching our hearts. Am I in obedience with God's word? Don't I add in my heart when I feel that the word of God is rebuking me? And in most cases, the word of God uses our conscience to begin to prick us, check us. And the conscience will just be so alive where if you want to do something wrong, the Holy Spirit will like prop it up and you hold yourself back. But the people whose hearts are already hardened, the Bible says their consciences are already seared like with iron. So they don't care hurting people. They don't care whatever they do. They just feel as long as this is what my heart feels like doing, my mind feels like doing, I will just do it. But God has a solution for us. Lastly, in James chapter 1, 21 to 25. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. Remember that I talked about implantation. Yeah, when the seed is implanted in the walls of a woman's womb. So that's whenever the word of God comes, it comes for the purpose of implantation in order for it to bring forth fruit, which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So summarily, the sower is Jesus Christ, the word of God. And this very different environment, they are the heart of people. Four categories of people. The ones whose heart are like the ones that fall by the wayside. They don't want to have any relationship with Jesus Christ, and Satan just comes and takes it away. So there's no opportunity for the seed, for the word to even make any impact in their lives. So we also have the second category, that those are the ones that the seed will fall of. Those are the birds come and take it away. That Satan takes it away. Then the second one is the category of the people who
It falls among thorny or rocky soil. And no matter what, initially they will be excited about coming to church. You see them in church one day or 2 days or whatever. But after that, nothing happens. No fruit comes forth. Even you try following them up, they are not responding. Then we have the third category of the thorns, the one that falls among the thorns. The difficulties of life, the deceitfulness of riches, the deception of the world, distractions everywhere. You know, so all these things are real. They are happening to every one of us. We face these distractions every day. But the Bible says, looking not to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we put our trust in him. In the midst of this, all the challenges, is able to still make our hearts fertile grounds for his word to bring forth fruits, for his word to bring forth results, kingdom results, fruits that will endure. That at the end, Jesus will say, thou good and faithful servant, well done. Let us pray. Our dear Lord and Father, we thank you for your word that has come forth. By strength shall no one prevail. We trust you that this little and this much that I've shared with us, your people, we pray that you use it as ingredients to form Christ in us. That these words will richly dwell in us, for to cause transformation from our inside. Because Jesus said that the things that enter into our mouths will never defile us. But they are the things, the evils that comes out from our hearts. Lord, we pray that you transform our heart. We pray that through your word and by the help of your spirit, you expel darkness. You remove fear from our hearts. You remove doubt from our hearts. We pray that the flesh will no longer have control over us. That your word says, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We pray that we be led by you. Help all our ears to be listening ears. May we, like John the Beloved, always rest our heads on your shoulder, on your chest, for to hear what the Spirit says to the church. You give us grace to be obedient and enjoy the blessings of obedience. Thank you for St. Patrick's, for this period of transition. We pray that you lead them through and you remain Lord over this, your church. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.